everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Babe. I'm your host, Laura Marie Shane Halls, and with me is a fellow babe and host of her own pod, Natch Butte, Jackie Michelle Johnson.
Hi.
Hi.
I love that we're both triple names.
We're triple names.
Sarah Michelle Gellar, we're coming for you.
Oh my God, and you are a Michelle triple name.
Yes.
So yeah, you're coming for her.
I am.
She better watch out.
I mean, we're in the same demographic. We're in the same career tier, honestly.
Yeah, true. Yeah,
true icons.
What prompted you to do a triple name?
Well, honestly, there's 98 Jackie Johnsons.
Okay.
And there's already a very established famous woman named Jackie Johnson who's a meteorologist here in LA.
Okay, yeah.
And that's why I'll never be able to be Googled.
Mm-hmm.
So I just had to tack on that Michelle for Screen Actors Guild.
I love it.
And I still go by Jackie Johnson. I'm actually, we should break this down because I'm trying to figure that out. Like, I need to like definitively decide. Am I Jackie Michelle Johnson? Do I want people to call me that? Is that like my thing? Or am I just Jackie Johnson? I'm having like an identity crisis.
I think you should consult a numerologist.
Okay, I love that.
Because that's how I decided to go by like a triple name. Mm-hmm. Because actually our mutual friend who hosted the cannabis event that we were at last weekend, she used to be a numerologist or like do numerology as like a side hustle. And that's how we met.
Are you talking about Elizabeth?
I'm talking about Needy.
Okay, got it.
Okay, so yeah, or your friends were Elizabeth.
We
and
met
Stephanie.
At a party. Keep up.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we met at a party, and then my friend Needy has a brand called Loon, and she threw a co-hosted brunch with the girls from Mercury. Or That's a retrograde. And
who I know.
Yeah. You know. Okay, so now we have appropriate
and now
backstory.
We're caught up. Yes. I mean, that's a really good idea.
Yeah.
I should do that.
She was like, oh, your name, just Laura Shane Halls, adds up to, I think it was like an 11 or something. Or it was either a 1 or a 2, which are my challenge numbers.
Interesting.
And so she was like, you need to get Marie in there so it adds up to the right amount of numbers. And ever since then, I just started going triple name.
You know what my mom told me? And my mother is not a numerologist as far as I know. My name, Jackie Johnson, has 13 letters.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently a lot of serial killers have 13-letter names.
Who? Have you researched killers?
Like, I don't want to say the wrong... I don't have numbers in front of me. Like, it's like John Wayne Gacy, Charles Manson, like all these people have to. And I was like, interesting. So maybe I should add the Michelle in there just for that alone. You know,
you don't want to align with like,
I don't need that energy.
No,
who needs that energy?
You're trying to expand.
Honey, we're elevating.
Not limit or murder anyone.
No murder. The only thing I'm murdering is the game. That's all I'm going to murder. Yes.
I love that. Yeah. So once I had a numerologist tell me, I was just like, I threw caution to the wind. I was like, look, it's kind of a diva move to have like a three name, like a high maintenance vibe, but I don't give a shit.
No, I mean, I can't even fit Jackie Michelle Johnson on Twitter. It won't even fit. So it's not on there.
Really?
It just says Jackie Johnson.
I think they updated it so it might be able to include, because they were doing that, which I think is very name-ist.
Mm-hmm.
And then they expanded so I was able to do Laura Marie Shane Halls.
Yeah, I love that. My whole life, my real name's Jacqueline.
Okay.
And there's 10 letters, just the first name.
Mm-hmm.
And every Scantron would cut me off. Every Scantron. Nine letters is the limit. Rude.
Yeah.
So come on. Stop
That's
being
unfair.
Name-ist, America.
I always hated that when like you go to tourist spots to even like pick out a keychain,
Laura
coffee
mugs.
Was never an option.
Right. Really?
No.
I had a lot of friends named Laura growing up. L-A-R-A. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
There was one other girl that I grew up with and her name was Laura. I think it was like a craze in our generation because our parents loved Dr. Zhivago.
Is that what that is?
And then just started like naming their kids Laura. Yeah. But I had a weird experience last week. I was watching old home movies that my mom had digitized and like put on a USB and sent me.
Legacy Box? Use code Natch.
I
for
gave
half
her.
Off.
Well, oh, give the promo code.
It's a really amazing company.
Is it the one where you put all the photos? Okay.
You can put anything you want in there, send it away. They'll digitize everything and send it back to you.
Even
it,
like a video?
Cassettes, DVDs, mini DV tapes.
Wow.
Any size tape, photos. I mean, tapes, like cassette tapes. I have like tapes of me pretending to be Howard Stern.
Uh-huh.
Like they've digitized all of it.
Wow. That's incredible. Mm-hmm. I love this like organic ad that was not
Well, I don't even get paid for it. I mean, they pay me for ads, but I don't get like any money off the code. But if anyone's interested, what an amazing gift to get like Father's Day or holidays.
It's the perfect gift. I gave my mom something like that a few years ago for photos because she had so many and she... all of them ended up on a USB and back in my possession.
It's like easy to do your hashtag TBTs.
Yeah.
You know?
So I was watching this like video of a birthday that I had, maybe like a 9 or 10 year old birthday. And everyone at my birthday party was calling me Laura and no one had like corrected them. And these were girls that I had gone from like preschool through whatever grade I was in. And it was the most bizarre thing. And I felt like personally attacked and betrayed by everyone I knew.
I feel that way. And that's another thing. I have a friend named Laura with an A-U-R-A and she goes by Lara.
Because she's like ruining the Laras.
But that's what I'm saying.
Lives.
You can... whatever your name is, you can tell people to say it the way you want to hear
That's
it,
true.
You know, but you have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. Cause I'm privileged. Jackie Johnson.
Yeah.
No one has
cut and dry.
No one has ever mispronounced my name in the history of my birth. Never. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know what it would feel like, but I would imagine it wouldn't feel good to have somebody calling you the wrong thing. So, but I also understand like, oh, I don't want to inconvenience and be annoying. But come on, tell people how you want your name said.
Yeah, like it's your name.
And that goes for like your titles. That goes, I mean, people say Natch Beauty, my podcast sometimes, and I'm like, it's actually Natch Butte.
Yeah,
it's actually Natch Butte. Okay, it's not beauty.
And I feel like no one, like my mom didn't correct anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And then everyone
just
so
kept
I didn't
calling
know,
you that.
Because I'm just like young.
Right.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
I know. I would really unpacked that.
I was about
therapy.
To say I would.
Yeah, that was a true therapy moment where we were just like both horrified,
right?
And then like contextualized some other things.
100%
But yeah, you've lived in LA for a long time.
13 years.
I love it.
It's crazy. How long have you been here?
I've been here almost 11 years.
Yeah. Okay. So you get it.
It goes by in the blink of an eye.
It's truly troubling how quick it's gone by.
Every day is sunny, and then you just forget.
I can, like it was yesterday, I remember exiting the 134 in my Ford Mustang convertible.
Oh my God.
Filled to the brim with like tubs of my shit.
Yeah.
Listening to California by Phantom Planet, obviously.
Yes.
Because the OC was in its prime.
You had to do it.
And I exited and I saw the Warner Brothers lot and I saw the water tower and I was like, oh, that's where Wacko, Yakko, and Dot live, you know, from Animaniacs. I was like, oh my God, y'all, I've made it. Like, it was like yesterday.
You came in guns blazing,
honey,
Mustang convertible with like your dreams in the trunk,
honey,
ready to go.
I always say pack full of all my sorority shirts and my dreams.
Where'd you move from?
From Austin.
Okay.
Yeah.
Love it.
Straight here, baby.
Drove the 10.
Straight here.
Never looked back.
Autopilot, honey. I hit that fucking highway with my dreams in my back pocket.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Where did you live when you first moved out here?
I lived in the Oakwoods.
Okay. Oh my God.
Which is, I mean, obviously, Lara.
Yes.
Obviously, I lived
in
the Oakwoods.
That was an option. Like, that was one of the options because I came out from Chicago to do, like, a student program.
Same.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was like, we'll transition you.
That's
into
what I did. Yes.
So you might want to consider the Oakwoods.
Yes, that's what I did.
Yeah. And then they kind of, how was that experience? How long did
it
you
was
live
incredible,
at the
and I'm so grateful.
Yeah.
I am so grateful for that first summer here. It was so perfect. It was the most perfect, picturesque youth coming of age, moving to LA moment that I could have ever hoped for. So the Oakwoods, for people that don't know, they're not even the Oakwoods now. They're called something really
They've
annoying now. They've rebranded them several times.
Which they, I to be fair, yes. I think they needed a facelift.
There was some PR nightmares.
A kind of like a darkness that had settled in around
them.
There were
some celebrity deaths there.
It's like also a... It's like a short-term apartment scenario,
like fully furnished.
Stars.
Yes. So basically, if you live somewhere and you want your kid to be famous over the summer when they don't have school and you want to like test the waters, you fly to LA, you get an apartment furnished at the Oakwoods, and you can take your kid and schlep them to auditions. Mm-hmm. And it's also a place where people that are shooting something from that live in another city or state or country come to the Oakwoods for a temporary time. Like, okay, we're shooting a movie for 3 months. We're going to stay at the Oakwoods.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. It's like corporate apartments.
Corporate apartments for like kind of working actors or actor hopefuls.
Or musicians. I met so many band people that were in town to record an album or like in between tours and they didn't know where they were going to end up. Like it was such an enclave of just creative, you know, strugglers. And it was amazing. It was the best place I could have ever been
in
that moment.
A lot of people there.
So many people.
Like you ended up knowing long term.
No. I mean, I know them all on Facebook. but that's what's beautiful about the Oakwoods, you know? I did move here in a program.
Mm-hmm.
I went to University of Texas. It was University of Texas, Los Angeles. It's sort of like studying abroad, but in LA. And technically, Los Angeles is a foreign country when you're from Texas, you know? So that was fun. So I moved out here with like a bunch of, I only knew two or three of them, as in like we had a couple classes together, but nobody was like my really good friend.
Yeah.
But then you meet all the other kids there for whatever program they're in. Mm-hmm. Like AFI, there was like some AFI kids there. There was some like New York Film Academy. There were some kids from Syracuse University, their program. Like it was just a bunch of like, when I say kids, I mean college kids.
Yeah.
And then there were child actors and their parents. And musicians, and it was the best. I mean, we'd have keg parties. I remember doing body shots. Like, just it was such a beautiful. I was like, this. I started dating this guy who, like, he was from LA, and his mom is a famous actress.
Mm-hmm.
And being a bumpkin, that was literally the most like sexy. Like, he was like, you know, glamorous.
Yeah. He's like, offspring.
Yes, but he also was like from LA, and like he drove a Prius, which this was 2006.
Yeah, that
I
was
mean,
cheap.
No one had a Prius.
Like Cameron Diaz had a Prius.
That's what I'm saying.
It.
Like I was like, oh my god, your car don't have no engine. You know, I was like, oh my god. Like he would like drive me to. He'd be like, have you ever been to Coffee Bean? Have you ever been to Amoeba Records? And I was like, no. Show me the ways of the city. You know?
Wow, like, you were ideal girlfriend.
I'm telling you, it was
situation.
It was the most beautiful summer. It was so, and it evoked such a joy to me. You know what I mean?
I
like,
that.
It was a beautiful time. I remember I smoked marijuana for the first time, standing outside of Mulholland, you know, looking over and just being like, I've made it, honey. I'm 21 years old. I'm in LA.
You're
I'm making out in a Prius.
La La Land, but
it
not
was a
like
La La.
Annoying.
100%. When I saw La La Land, it actually did evoke a little bit of that nostalgia for that time.
Because it is like a moving to LA. Like, the Oakwoods has a lot of potential to take an extremely dark turn, which is why I kind of stayed away.
Yes.
But I'm happy to hear that
it was an explosion
of joy.
I should have written a show about it, honestly. Like, I remember going down to the hot tub at night, and it was full.
Mm-hmm.
And just getting in and chatting. And just all the characters that were in that hot tub.
And
everyone
wants to meet each other.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of what I found interesting about moving to LA was that people were really friendly. And it's easy to kind of make friends out here and find like your people. As opposed to when I moved to Chicago, I knew no one. And it was really difficult to get like a friend group going.
Yeah. I mean, you can definitely get a friend group. Half of them might end up being sociopaths. But,
you'll definitely meet a lot of psychos. Mm-hmm. And things will be like...
The way you said psychos, you go psychos, and I'm like, yeah, that's exactly the perfect way to put it.
Yeah, and it will be a roller coaster, but at first they'll be really nice.
Oh yeah, so then I started doing background work.
Okay,
and that's when I met the cuckoo cachoos.
Yeah,
I met some kooky folks doing background work, and I mean, I was one of them.
Yeah,
I was just as kooky. In many ways.
I did background. I was like a background casting assistant on The Dark Knight.
Ooh.
Last summer in Chicago. Mm-hmm. Or no, my second to last summer in Chicago. And you meet some real crazies.
Yes.
That show up just guns blazing, ready to...
I mean, it's such a fascinating subculture, as are a lot of subcultures. Did you watch the Game of Thrones documentary?
No, I didn't. I was never into Game of Thrones.
There was... The finale just happened, and then the next week they did it was a 2-hour documentary about like the final season, and my favorite storyline, if I'm being honest, I thought it was kind of boring, but my favorite storyline of the whole documentary was this extra. He lives in Belfast, and he's been an extra like forever on the show, and he essentially thinks he's really a knight, and he truly thinks he like is in the Stark army. And he even had like custom jackets made for all the extras that has like House Stark on it. Like, and I was like, I know him. Like, I worked with people like that.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating. And I was like, I want to see a documentary about him and his life and his daily life. And what's he going to do now that Game of Thrones is over? And like, how did he stumble into this career path? And like, I was like, I want to know what he's up to.
Yeah.
He was the most fascinating person in the whole documentary.
The little people that are making things happen behind the scenes.
Yes.
Because there's so, in a show like that.
Oh, yeah.
And also on like a movie like Dark Knight, there's hundreds, if not thousands of extras and truly, coming in and out that you have to manage.
And truly, the show wouldn't be there without them.
No.
I mean, they're very important.
Mm-hmm.
Especially like battle scenes. And like, I'm like, these people are working their asses off.
For nothing.
Yes.
All day.
Yes.
In the heat.
Thankless work, honestly.
With like sandwiches.
With garbage food.
Yeah.
Yes. They serve them troughs of gruel.
They're the real heroes.
I mean, honestly, I remember when I was watching, I think it was the Emmys, it might have been the Screen Actors Guild, Rachel Brosnahan thanked the extras on Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Oh, and there's in the tons most sincere, of extras
there was,
on that
It was
show.
The most sincere, thoughtful thing. And I remember being like, I see you, Rachel, because I was like, no one fucking thanks the extras. I was one for 2 years.
Yeah.
Most of the main cast don't even look you in the eye. They just walk past you. And I get it. They're working there. It's their process. And, you know, I don't know what they're going through. I'm sure it's not easy, but her just giving that little sentence of like, everyone on this show is important. I'm thankful for the background artists on this show. I was like, that is so nice of you.
Yeah.
It's a thankless job, and it's so important.
And they care. When you're doing that kind of work, you care so much.
Right.
And it's like everyone that is being an extra, I mean, unless it's like the night guy who is like just committed to that nightlife.
Right.
They have visions of stardom themselves.
100%.
And
most likely.
A lot of them probably will never get like their dream. Right.
Yeah. It's just so the truth. Yeah.
You gotta just thank them.
Right.
When you get your dream.
I always, now when I act, I always like talk to the background and like cut up and like am nice. And because I'm just like, I know the struggle, baby. I used to go, I mean, I did that for 2 years.
What were you in?
Everything.
Everything. Would you just go to call, like, wide casting calls, or how did you approach it?
So it's a whole thing. I don't even know how it works now because I've been out of the game for so long, but there's a place called Central Casting. They're the main casting place, and they have, like, open registration hours 3 times a week, and you show up, and you literally just stand in line, and then they take your photo, and you fill out a card that's like, these are my sizes, these are my special skills, these are the costumes I own. And then there would be a hotline you call, and they'd be like, hi, we're looking for like 80, you know, club goers. And you call and you like punch in your code and they pull you up. And if you fit the bill, they'll go, okay, you're hired.
Yeah.
I'm sure now it's all done online and whatever. But I mean, everything that came out between 2007 and 2010, I was in the background of. Every movie, every TV show, everything.
Amazing.
You can see me plain as day.
Yeah.
In like 20 movies.
Did you have red hair back then?
I had all kinds of different hair. When I first moved here, I started getting highlights like Misha Barton, again, the OC.
Yeah.
And so I was kind of blondie.
Heavily influential.
Yes. Oh, I had her Got Milk ad is what I brought into the hairdresser.
Oh my God.
I said, I need this highlight, this cut.
She had the perfect highlight.
Oh yeah. The perfect like California, easy, fun, cute girl look. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yes, girl, I want to be her.
Yeah.
Same.
I identify.
Same.
This is who I want to be.
Same. Yeah.
Now Misha would be lucky to be an extra, except she's going to be on The Hills.
That's right. And I cannot fucking wait, honestly.
I'm so
I saw the trailer and I was like,
Hills.
Justin Bobby, I see you. You're looking good these days. Justin Bobby aged extreme, like
he
handsome.
Did. He's handsome. I've always thought that he was handsome.
Yeah.
I'm a little like, where has he been? I'm excited to see like what he's been doing other than like riding a motorcycle around.
I can't wait to hear that whole backstory. Where's Justin Bobby been?
I feel like it's like he just rode back and forth from LA to Malibu for the last 10 years.
But he's been wearing his sunscreen.
Yeah.
Because he looks good. I can't wait for The Hills.
And I do want like the resurgence of Misha. I think she deserves like a real shot right. again.
She looks great. Mm-hmm. I run into her semi often now and it's so weird.
Really?
Well, I manifested her into my life. I was obsessed with her when I was doing background work. I got called in because she's 5'10 like me.
Yeah.
So I got called in once. They were like, we're looking for some hand models to do like insert shots. And I did it for Charlize Theron. I didn't get picked. I was uh-huh. just chosen to go in because my hands are very big.
Yeah.
Even though I'm 5'10, they wanted somebody that was 5'10 but had like, you know, nice looking hands. And mm-hmm. And they wanted a little more petite. But I did the same thing for Misha and I got to go to set and we all held our hands out and she picked. But I remember just being like, I did it. I manifested her.
That would be the number one yeah. prize.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God. So you and do then, have really nice hands.
They're nice, but they're just long and big and they wanted like, she picked some, the littlest, most petite hands.
Yeah.
But I see her, we have circle friend, like my friend's hairdresser is her hairdresser. I see them at party. Like, and I'm just like, yeah, she's among us.
So Misha's in your life.
I mean, you know.
To some extent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've thought about actually emailing her and seeing if she wants to come on Natch Butte.
Oh my God.
Because her
totally
email
should.
Address is in her fucking Instagram bio and it's like MishaBarton@gmail.com. I'm not even joking.
Misha, she is wanting to work. Right. And I want to give her that opportunity. I really engaged on a major level with Dancing with the Stars. Mm-hmm. And so I was so happy when she was on that show, but it seemed like not a great fit.
Right.
And I feel like she could really shine on The Hills.
I think she's been through a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Fame isn't easy.
I think she has mom drama with like a momager.
Family stuff.
Which is truly psychotic.
I mean, I can't even begin to mm-hmm. unpack for her. But I'll say this. She was a fucking style icon.
Yeah.
She was in the early aughts, literally the it girl.
Mm-hmm.
And no one can ever take that from her.
No.
So I see you, Misha, and I hope you flourish. Honestly, yes. Like I'm obsessed.
We root.
We stan. We stan a Misha queen.
So you were hand modeling.
I tried. Yeah.
Doing background mm-hmm, work, mm-hmm. and then what happened?
I mean, you know,
graduated.
What? I have actually the writer's strike.
Okay. Yeah.
Back in the day, ended all this production work, and then I was out of money, and I just pivoted to dog walking, and I was a celebrity dog walker for 5 years.
Oh my God!
Mm-hmm.
So you met like every celeb's dog.
I mean, a lot. Yeah.
Wow.
It was wild. It's a wild. That's another subculture.
Who? So wait, there's like multiple celeb dog walkers.
Oh yeah.
Is competition fierce?
Yes. And they what? Not scalp. Is that scalping? Like when you scoop up a poach.
Poach.
There's poachers galore.
Oh my God.
If anyone lives in LA and you want to see a slice of a world you know nothing about, like I'm fascinated by subcultures.
Yeah.
Go to the Laurel Canyon Dog Park. It's like Laurel and Mulholland. Mm-hmm. And just go there one Wednesday afternoon and just observe what you see. There are dog walking cliques. There are each person with their whole horde of dogs. There's these two people who they're a husband and wife team. They drive these big vans with their faces on them. They dress like safari. So they wear like khaki safari hats and matching khaki shorts and vests.
I trust that.
And
honestly.
They unload their car and then they take up the whole back section of the dog park. And it's like a known rule, like an unwritten rule. Like you're not allowed to take your dogs anywhere near their area. Mm-hmm. And if you do, they'll chew you out.
They're like, get the hell away
yeah,
from
us. And it's so interesting. It's just like, everyone's just accepted this as fact. And like, everyone, you know, obliges. But I'm like, I remember I like went over there and they were like, excuse me, this is our corner?
Whoa.
I was like, I'm sorry, I don't see a sign. This is a public park.
That's aggro. But then as like a future dog owner,
right?
Like that's the kind of energy I
true.
Would love a dog
and I'll tell you what,
to have
they,
around my dog.
Yes, they take their job very seriously and they're very good at it. But I mean, they poach.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I had, because word gets out.
Yeah.
They'd be like, excuse me, is that America Ferrera's pit bull you have? And I'd be like, how the fuck did you know that? I made that up, by the way.
Yeah.
So nobody Google it.
Yeah.
It's like, how'd you know that? Well, because my neighbor is my client and I tried to get her to hire us and she didn't. So like, what made her sign up with you? What did you do? What's the rate? Like, I'm in the, it's crazy.
So they'd ask you.
It's like the dog
that.
Walk like, mafia.
Wow.
It's intense.
So how did you get clients? Did you
well,
sign
I worked
up through
for
a website?
Someone. No, I worked for someone.
Okay.
It was such a crazy happenstance. Like, I've gotten a lot of my jobs off Craigslist.
Okay.
A lot.
I love Craigslist.
I'm not sure what the scene is like now. Be careful out there, everybody. But back in the, you know, whatever this was, 2010,
yeah.
you know, ish, that's when you're a struggling artist. You go to that friggin' miscellaneous section or the part-time section and mm-hmm. you just see what's out there, you know? And this was after the writer's strike was going, so all the extra work, and I was out of cash. And I remember called my dad and I was like, I need help with rent. And he goes, this is literally the last time I will ever pay your rent in your life. So if you don't get a job and figure this shit out, sorry, but you got to move home.
Yeah.
And I was like, on. It lit a fire under my ass. It was like dog walking. I'm like, what a stupid job. I could do that.
Yeah.
I'm like a dog freak. I love mm-hmm. animals. So I just started like Googling, sending cover letters, figuring it out. And I got hired to work for this woman who's a renowned dog trainer. And so I got to like learn a lot of dog training stuff. And my dog is like the most well-behaved dog in the world. And people mm-hmm. always ask me like, how's your dog so well-behaved? I'm like, I used to work for a dog behavioralist who really, truly helped me with her. And I learned a ton. And I'm just good with dogs. And I loved it. It was really
you're a dog
valued work in my life. I loved my job. It's just, I woke up one day and I was like, wow, I've literally worked my way up to the top of the dog walking chain. And I did not move here to do this.
I want a movie about your dog walking experience. I've written
some stuff.
I need that.
Yeah. It's crazy.
I'm in like a dog head now, and yeah. I was not a dog head for a long time.
Yeah.
I was like a total cat person. Yeah,
same.
And then there's been a shift. I'm actually adopting a dog on Saturday.
Oh my goodness.
I'm getting a pug. I'm so
oh, that's right.
Excited.
We talked about it when we met.
Yeah.
Oh
I showed
God.
You the pic.
Oh my God.
And baby. I can't wait. But I've been watching like tons of training videos mm-hmm. online, and like I'm going to be intense about it, but yeah. I can see how your energy yeah. like you have this authoritative like presence.
Yeah, and they were so calm with me mm-hmm. like it, and it's a good feeling when you're in a room with 9 dogs and yourself mm-hmm. and they're all calm and
they have a lot of respect for you.
I guess I'll tell you a quick
they
pug.
Trust that you know right. what the best thing is for right. them, and you know what you're doing.
But honestly, they could all turn on me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? These were big dogs.
They could maul you at any time.
They could maul me at any time, go straight for the neck, and just fucking end it all.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you were a dog in a past life.
No animals have come up, no.
Okay.
But I've had two different people tell me I was clergy in a past life, which is very interesting.
Whoa.
Yep.
What kind of clergy? Did they elaborate on that?
It was in the early biblical times. And I was told that I made a vow of poverty so strong that the universe is still fighting that.
Holy.
Which is why money has been hard for me to acquire. Is that interesting?
Wow.
Yeah.
I love any sort of explanation like that right. where you
but,
can just like.
But that was the second time I've been told that. That's why I was like, oh,
that you were clergy and
fuck,
you made the
yeah.
vow of poverty?
Well, so the first one told me I was clergy. The second one told me I was clergy and I made a vow of poverty. But I was like, I don't know. The fact that two of them have told me that is very interesting.
Okay, then I believe it.
Yeah. I want to figure out if anyone's listening. I mean, this is now we've really crossed into LA conversation.
Yeah. Why not? I love like,
yeah,
I've
same.
Never done a past life thing. But yeah. I'm dying to know.
I want to do. There's a word where they like go back through your whole archive.
Akashic
records. Yes. I want to do that.
Records.
Yeah. I want to do that.
I know a person. I
okay,
can
good.
Connect
send
to
me
with.
That. Send me that link.
Wait, so what do you do to get rid
that's
of this vow
that's
poverty?
What I want somebody's help with, because I have a friend who was like, I can do a money spell. I said, I don't need a money spell. I need to make a vow of money. I need yeah. to make a vow of funds earning.
Maybe you need to like go to a church
mm-hmm.
and like make it rain on the altar or something.
Yeah,
like that.
I need someone's expertise on what to do here.
Or like,
I think a money spell wouldn't be powerful enough. I need someone who can straight up revoke a vow.
Yeah,
like that is transcended
it and then
centuries
like
and
open.
Centuries of time.
Yeah,
it's intense.
I hate that for your past. Like, I feel like it was really coming from a great place.
Mm-hmm, of course,
like your former like
right.
priest or priestess.
They didn't know I was going to be in LA trying to fucking do comedy. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because that is one thing that is part of my personality is I cannot stand gross flaunting of excessive wealth.
Yeah.
It is one of the most disgusting. I hate when people drive like, I mean, like, let's just, I'm going to call her out fucking Kylie Jenner. Okay.
Okay. That's exactly who I was going to say.
I'm like, does is Snapchat her 50 cars and her fucking diamonds and her, and I'm just like, you're telling all these young people who follow you that you need to have a fucking fancy car. And I'm just like, you don't need to have a fancy car. Drive a car that will safely get you from A to B. That is it. And if you have money and you want to have something nice, I'm not trying to shame you, but flaunting excessive wealth is such a disgusting thing to do when we all know the poverty in this country. Children with no fucking food, the poverty in this world, and, mm-hmm. and how many people are suffering to just be like, here's my 78 cars.
Yeah.
It's like, honey, you need one car. If you're rich, have two or three, or have 70. don't be fucking flaunting them all over the internet.
Yeah.
It's disgusting. Maybe that's my clergy talking.
That's your
clergy. But you
know
what? It fucking pisses me off.
This is the vow of poverty.
But yeah, but so what do you say? Should I fucking be more like Kylie or what?
I don't think anyone, like, I think vows of poverty are kind of overrated.
Is that title of ep?
I think we just uncovered it.
Vow of poverty.
Like, I respect where the vow of poverty comes
from. 100%.
And, like, totally on, like, a cerebral level agree. Like,
yes.
And, but I think that it's, like, you're not doing yourself or anyone any favors if you're taking away vital resources
100%.
To allow you to shine and 100%. Do your best job and then hopefully help other people
100%.
As well.
And that's what I'm saying.
Because, like, think back, and I've had moments where I've been, like, so broke, like, I'm eating Cheerios being, like...
Same.
What the fuck am
Dollar General
do?
Ramen, honey.
Yeah, like, yeah. Being, like, the money is going to run out and, like... I TBD where it's like I can feel like a physical reaction
yes.
start when I even think about it.
Right.
And in those periods of times have been really good for getting like scrappy and super resourceful.
Right.
But as far as creativity goes, it does not help my creative process whatsoever.
For sure.
So for that reason, I'm like, give me a lot of, I'm like, vow of wealth.
Yes.
So that
vow of abundance, honey.
Vow of abundance.
Vow
so that
of
I can
abundance.
Do what it is I meant to
yes,
do.
Yes, yes.
And then I've been through those like tough experiences, so I know how to not be a fucking asshole.
Right.
About it.
Yes, same.
I've definitely been on the other side where it's just like entitled,
yes.
like girl with an allowance, and that
same.
Didn't do me any favors.
Same. I need a vow of abundance.
Yeah.
Whoever can do that.
Readers, please write
and
in.
It needs to be powerful.
Yeah.
Like,
what are the vows of abundance?
Transcending a fucking vow of poverty made in biblical times. Powerful.
Yeah.
So, no Groupons need apply, honey.
No,
I need
no
the
Groupons.
Real deal.
No.
Yes.
You need, like, a lottery.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the equivalent of winning the lottery.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, listen, the DMs are open.
Wait, what is... your what else, like what other past lives aside from a clergy?
I was in the Egyptian times.
Okay,
that was one we
that.
Covered. Mm-hmm. And we got into like a lot of stuff with my ex-husband.
Mm-hmm.
He's still my husband, but I'm getting a divorce.
Yeah,
so we got into some stuff with that. And
like
I was,
you had known him in a past life too.
Mm-hmm. We were brother and sister, which I've been told again twice.
Did you know that before you guys got married?
Yes.
And you're still like, yeah, I'm going to marry him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it's like you find, you,
you
know,
find
we,
each
we
other
found
again
each other in this
universe.
Life. Right. And it turns out we weren't, our marriage wasn't so, you know, it didn't work out, but,
yeah.
but we found each other in this life, which actually kind of makes sense.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like just because we knew each other back then in this way doesn't mean we should have gotten married in this life, but we did have a meaningful,
yeah,
you know,
connection.
Thing that changed my life forever.
Yes.
So he still impacted me in this lifetime, you know?
Yeah. I just wonder, like, as a general rule, if like inset, like you're basically committing like current life incest.
Interesting. I didn't even think about that.
That was why I was like, and then you said, because if someone told me that, I'd be like, oh my God, like this freaks me out. But
oh,
I mean,
see,
if you're in
I
love,
found it
you'd
to
still
be really pure.
Yeah.
I found the opposite.
It's like your flowers in the attic.
Oh God.
Even though I haven't read that book,
yeah.
but I just know.
Right.
Wait. Okay. So
I'm an old soul, motherfucker.
You're an old
I'm
soul.
An old soul.
What were you doing in Egypt?
I'm not sure. I know I played music.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then
I see you with like a harp.
Oh, honey, I was harping and I love the harp. That's
mm-hmm.
interesting.
I love
a harp.
When you said Egypt, I got like a chill.
Mm-hmm.
And then you said music and
yeah.
I just envisioned a harp.
I love that for
I
me.
Love that.
I love that for Egyptian Jackie.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one, I don't know if I should say, I don't know. Like if, does that like mess up everything?
No.
That
what's happened, what's done is done.
That's true. Well, I'm not going to get into any more of it.
Okay.
Just because I don't know. I don't know if my spirit guides would be pleased with me like putting out my whole Akashic records on this pod. You know what I mean?
Okay. Well, I think if you feel comfortable circling back.
Yes.
Because my spirit guides would really love it. If
yeah. maybe they're all probably having tea right now.
I'm going to have to get your past life person.
Yeah.
From like get a name.
Oh, I have.
I'm dying for
I
this.
Have amazing people.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love it. What other new age like LA stuff are you into?
I mean, I just
you
learned transcendental
all,
meditation.
Okay.
I don't know if that's necessarily LA, but I just trained and did that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to get into it. It's not easy. I'm pretty high strung. And especially like with everything I'm going through right now, it's you know, I'm getting a divorce. I'm in the middle of a divorce right now. So, I've been having a hard time, like, making the time to do the meditation. Cause, you know, you have to, it's basically an hour a day.
Yeah. It's like 20 minutes twice a day,
but you have to come in and out of it. So it's really 30-30.
Like, you have to, like, ease yourself into it.
Ease yourself in, ease yourself out. So really it's like 30-minute.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have, like, a busy work schedule. It comes and goes. Sometimes I'm super busy. Sometimes I have 5 auditions in a week. Sometimes I have none. Like, you know, I'm just... Sometimes I'm going to weed parties at the Chateau Maman.
Yeah.
Like, where we met, you know, so... I would say that's one. I feel like I'm kind of, I'll do anything once in terms of like wellness, pretty much. You know what I really want to do? I want to do one of those like deprivation tanks.
Yeah.
Have you done that? Fun.
I haven't done that.
I'm really curious about it.
Yeah. It seems cool.
Being like alone in your thoughts.
Just floating.
Yeah.
In darkness.
Yeah. I'm nervous about it. Yeah. We should go.
Yeah. I would totally go.
Somebody told me you can get, once again, Groupon. No sponsorship here. You can get a Groupon for it, and it's not very much.
Yeah. I mean, it's just water.
Right.
And I guess the tanks are probably expensive to power to keep the water. Like,
you got
to
clean it all out. And, you know.
Oh, yeah. You have to flush that after.
Right. I don't want to float in somebody's dirty sand cells. Water. Yeah. It's the last thing I need right now.
I know. That sounds pretty zen.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Yeah. Did you know I just recently swam with sharks in the open ocean in Hawaii?
Really?
Yeah.
Someone just got killed by a shark in Maui.
Oh, shit.
A guy got his leg bit off, and then they dragged him to shore, and he was dead.
Oh, my God.
I know. He was on vacation with his wife. They were, like, older. Like, not old, but in their 50s or 60s.
I have to Google what happened.
Yeah. It was in Maui, at right off the coast of where I had stayed when I was in Maui, like, a year and a half ago.
Was he out deep? Or
he was, like, I think 50 yards or 100 yards.
Because I was, like, miles and miles deep.
You were like way out in the middle
deep
of the ocean.
In the middle of.
Did you scuba dive?
50 sharks. What? No, we snorkeled.
And but the sharks stayed away from
my
you.
Fin. There was a shark a foot away from my fin.
What kind of shark?
They were all kinds.
They go and like chum the water so that they're like kind of excited?
Yeah. They make the noises and they hit the boat. And like, I mean, when we pulled up, I could see them in the water next to the boat. They were that high up in the water.
And is there like a guarantee that you won't get bit?
No, I mean, we all signed like waivers being like, we're not going to sue. But they went over it all with us. You know,
as
that's why I did
like,
it. It
calm.
Was like a kooky, like, embrace your power move. You know, I was like, and you're not in cages or anything. You just dip in. And if you assert yourself as an equal, they're not going to fuck with you. It's the theory.
That's the same thing with the dog walker, right. Though. It's like a don't fuck with me.
I'm not scared of animals.
Yeah.
I'm not scared of animals. I never have been.
Sharks terrify me.
Yeah.
Like always, right. Ever since I watched Jaws, it was over after that.
Yeah, see, it never...
So, but as long as you're just like still and not like thrashing,
that's
about.
What they said. They said don't thrash. And I guess I don't remember now. I think you're supposed to look them in the eye. Google it before anybody jumps in the ocean and looks.
Looking a shark and it's dead shark eyes. That's a lot.
Oh my God! When I was in Japan last year, I went to the snow monkey resort in the Alps, and there's signs everywhere. Do not look at the monkeys in the eye. Do not open your mouth and look them in the eye. Like all these signs. I didn't read any of them because they're like a foot away from me. They're everywhere. I walked right up to a monkey in Japan, in the Alps. And I go, thanks for letting us visit you. And it goes, and shoved its fist into the ground and opened its mouth and showed its teeth. And it almost killed me. I mean, and then I read the sign. It was like, do not open your mouth and make eye contact with the monkeys. They see it as a threat.
Oh, my God.
That monkey could have attacked me.
How big was it?
I mean, little, but yeah, still.
But still, they're wild.
Yes, it could have ripped my aorta out.
Yeah.
You know?
At least, like, slapped you.
100 scratched me, bit me. I mean, it would have been one hell of a story, but I'm not trying to get mauled by a damn monkey in Japan.
You're like, no injuries to the face.
Yes, honey. Neck up, we are sacred.
So you had your dog walking experience. You quickly rose in the ranks.
Yes.
Became queen of the dog walk.
I mean, pretty much, yeah.
And then what happened from there?
I woke up one day and realized that I did not move to LA to be a dog walker. Mm-hmm. It was really important work that I felt very valued in. And I enjoyed it, but it was my whole career was becoming secondary to it.
Yeah.
And I mean, at this point I was on a team at Upright Citizens Brigade and I was performing and like really trying to like make the career and the comedy happen. And I found myself like canceling rehearsals and auditions to like go meet a dog on the tarmac at the airport so it would make its flight to St. Bart's. I mean, I'm not even joking.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't fucking do this anymore. And so I just, I quit.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized, oh, and I was like, leap and the net will appear. And no net appeared. Bitch, no net appeared, okay?
The dog looked out the window of the PJ. Yes. And was like, bye, bitch.
Yes. And so I was like, well, I need another job. So that's when I went to eyelash technician school and I learned how to do eyelash extensions,
mm-hmm.
which I did for 5 years, 4 years. So I was running my own eyelash company.
I love that.
And then it was
called Jackie
Lashes.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, Jackie mm-hmm. Lashes. And that was great and it went great. And again, it was like word of mouth and I was doing all these like powerful women and it was spreading. I mean, I was doing big celebrities. Like it was crazy. It was once again the dog walking thing.
Yeah.
And I've realized that in LA, and this might be everywhere, but in LA specifically, like it's hard to get somebody who's good at what they do and who's honest
mm-hmm.
And because that's why I used to walk every showrunner's dogs in this town. None of them wanted to help me because they loved how good I was at walking their dog. I showed up every day on time. Fuck. I was loyal. I was honest. They didn't want me to not be their dog walker.
Yeah.
Same with the eyelashes.
Yeah.
I sat for 2 hours with these women and I'd make them laugh. And they would go, you're funny. They'd be like, yeah, you want to help me out? You're an agent. You want to help? And they'd be like, can you come back and do my fill in 2 weeks? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's like they didn't want to help me out. They wanted me to keep doing my excellent work.
Yeah.
So once again, when I started Natch Butte, I stopped. I was the first time I'd never not had a side job in all the whole time I've been in LA.
Mm-hmm.
It was really powerful.
And now you're killing the podcast.
Now I'm slaying
game.
That.
You have a track record of like
building up businesses
building
and bailing
up businesses,
on them.
Eventually bailing, but like really committing yourself.
Right.
And doing like rising quickly.
And well, I think it's just
like
passion for what
success.
You do.
Yeah.
And taking it seriously mm-hmm. and being a good person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then the podcast, like, and I found this too, it's such a good way to just like take control.
Yes.
And then basically that's like the best thing about it.
And each one of these jobs kind of helped feed the other.
Mm-hmm.
The dog walking, I met so many contacts that when I started Jackie O'Lashes, I had like this big roster of like powerful, wealthy women that really liked me. And I explained to them like and they were like, great, come do my lashes. And then they'd go around town and people would go, your lashes look great. And they go, oh, my friend did them. And then I get clients. And Natch Butte, half my guests were my A-list lash clients from the beginning. You know what I mean? It's just like, so they knew I was funny. They trusted me. And I was like, hey, would you do this show? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so, boom.
I love it.
Yeah. They all fed each other.
That's so exciting.
Yep.
I remember being out here and I told you this when we met, but you were one of the first people that I saw do like storytelling mm-hmm. shows. And I was like, this is the funniest girl ever seen.
And I'm pretty sure I was walking dogs.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that was in your mm-hmm. dog walking era. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, you might have even told a story about a dog.
There's so much material.
Yeah.
It's ripe for parody.
But I was just like, and this was years ago, like 2009 or 10 probably. And it was just like, I want to know her.
Yeah.
And so I was glad the
How
universe
funny.
Brought us together.
I know. I'm
eventually.
Telling you. We manifested like I did Misha Barton.
So wait, what is the... So you love beauty.
Mm-hmm.
What did lashes get you into that? Or were you always like...
It was... So when I leapt and no net appeared,
mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, I have to have another job. I was like, I'm not going to wait tables. Been there, done that. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to fold t-shirts. I was like, what can I do? I need to make money. I started like, I went on Craigslist. I started poking
back
around.
To Craigslist.
Back to the Craigslist, baby. That might be another title of that. Back to Craigslist. I always go back to Craigslist. That's actually a Taylor Swift song. But I remember like, just like went into like, I guess I clicked on the cosmetology one or something. Cause I was thinking maybe I love facials. I love skin. I love hair. I love glam. I was like, maybe I could go to esthetician school. I was like, I could build up a client base. And like, so then I realized, oh, you got to go to school for a long time. There's mm-hmm. a lot to it. It's medical. And so then I saw the eyelash thing. And eyelashes are huge now. But this was, I don't even know how many years ago now. 7 years ago. Like
this was in the dawn of
the dawning
the
of
lash
like California
revolution.
Lashes. Yeah, because in Japan it's been a thing. But, it, you know. And I was like, oh, it's only a 2-day course. It's $2,000. And I was always really good at putting on false eyelashes. Mm-hmm. I know now there's no correlation to the skills, but I didn't know that at the time.
But it's still like
I used to have
detailed.
My sorority sisters would line up at my door and I would lash every single one of them before they went out for the night.
Wow.
Because I just was really good at putting on fake eyelashes. It's not easy.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
I've like tried to do it maybe twice and it was a disaster. And then I was like, never again.
Yeah. It's not easy to do. It's
what
a very nuanced skill. Delta Gamma at University of Texas.
What is the like sorority vibe there? I've never been in a sorority or anything.
Well, UT is so giant. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're like the second largest school in America.
Yeah.
And Greek life is just as diverse. Mm-hmm. I think each house has a vibe.
What is the vibe of your house?
We were all over the place. I had trust fund girls and I had girls who were waiters that paid their own dues and like schlepped their side job. You know, we had everybody and mm-hmm. we were really chill. And I don't know if that's still the vibe there today, because I'm sure they evolve over time into different things. But it's so funny because you'd be like, oh, the Delta Gammas are the blondes, or the Delta Tridelts. The Tridelts are the blondes. The Thetas are the rich girls, like whatever. You can like kind of give those that term. Same with like the fraternities.
Yeah.
Like, oh, those are the day rapers.
All of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Every single one, honey. But you know what I mean? You could kind of stereotype like that.
Yeah.
But no, I'm really pleased with my choice.
Did you rush like a lot of different options?
Yeah. Oh my God. It's a whole thing.
It's because you rush like a bunch of different places.
Everyone.
Then they like give you a letter to let you know if you're in or you're out.
It's really intense.
That's like,
it's intense.
So X Factor.
It is so X Factor. You go to college a week early
mm-hmm.
and you stay in the dorms and you dress up and you schlep in the heat and you go to every sorority house and they do this whole presentation for you and you chat. And then the next day you get like a little letter that's like, these are the houses that invited you back. If there's more than seven, you have to cut them. But if there's less than seven, it means you weren't invited back to like the maximum amount. And then mm-hmm. you go to those and you keep getting cut. And at the end, you go to three on pref night and then you choose the order you want. And then you find out the next day which one gave you a bid.
That's the most stressful.
It's intense. I mean, I know
process. I've
I know girls
heard.
That didn't get into the house they wanted. So they dropped out of college.
I'm
transferred
sure.
to another school.
So they would go back to
so they could
try
pledge
that house again.
And then transfer back into UT.
That sounds like a lot of work to go through just to like have friends.
Yes, it's. I mean, I don't
but
recommend
like,
it.
I grew up in Oklahoma City, and mm-hmm. like my parents both went to OU, mm-hmm. and I had also like their friends, like daughters, were in mm-hmm. sororities at OSU, mm-hmm. and I got to go tour sorority mm-hmm. houses and just see when I was little.
Where'd you go?
I ended up going to Columbia College Chicago.
Okay, I'm glad.
I don't know what they're.
I'm glad
Greek
you didn't
like.
Go to OU.
No, I was not going to go to OU, but we would have been enemies.
I know. Well, you know, that's the thing. Like, I really kind of don't care. I think
I
think rivalry can be fun and healthy, but for some reason, the UT OU Sooners Longhorns rivalry is really deeply embedded in me, and I just fucking hate OU. And any Sooners listening, I'm sure you're great, but I'm just saying this is, you know how important this rivalry is.
Yeah, it's like for us, because you probably call it Texas OU weekend.
Yes,
call it
OU
Texas
weekend. Yeah,
and it's like Texas sucks.
The Red River Shootout.
Yeah, yes. And it's like a high drama.
Oh, I
weekend
had
in October.
100%.
It's like all about partying and college football.
I had some dark, dark times on those trips.
Oh, I've never had like a fun time mm-hmm. on one of those trips.
It was really, really dark.
Yeah.
I remember like my boyfriend in college and I getting in huge fights and like, it was just like everybody's drunk and like just fucking
it's binge drinking.
Yes.
The last time I went, I think my sister was like in college or like senior year in high school and she got really drunk and like threw up all over herself on the bed.
It's
and I
dark.
Had to like clean it up and clean her up and
oh my
like
God.
Make sure no one knew that she'd been drinking. And I was like, I could go without ever going to one of these ever again.
I remember I went to, because it's at the Cotton Bowl, which is on the Texas State Fairgrounds.
So there are corn dogs. That's like
there's
a bonus.
Corn dogs. Yeah. I was underage. I was 20. Mm-hmm. And my sorority sister, Allison, goes, I found a vendor that doesn't card. So we would literally get a beer and drink it and get another beer and drink it, because I was like, until he catches on, we're going to get as many beers as we can in our bodies. So we literally would chug a beer and be like, I'll have another one. I mean, how fucking insane. You know what I mean? Like, I was so fucked up. And then I picked a fight with my boyfriend. I was standing in front of Big Tex, which is like the big cowboy at the center, shoving him, screaming at him.
Amazing.
Domestic violence? at the state fair from an underage drunk sorority girl? It's dark as fuck. If you know me, that's so out of my realm now. I don't even drink alcohol.
Seem like a shover.
Yeah, I'm not, but I was.
Yeah.
It's dark.
Well, you put enough booze in someone in that kind of
plus
environment.
Plus you're young and I was like all chemically imbalanced from my fucking, you know, Nuva ring or whatever. There's so much going on. There were so many chemicals.
Yeah, it's not a good
not
zone.
A good look, honey.
Not a good
not
look.
Not a good look.
The only reason I would want to go is so I could be in like Dallas.
Yes.
And then shop.
Yes.
Because Oklahoma City, believe it or not, had
terrible
shopping.
I never would have thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Yeah, I'm glad I didn't go to OU either. It was just like not going to happen.
But at the same time, again, I'm kind of glad I have that story.
Yeah.
Like having, I was, talk about privilege.
You had like a, like
college experience.
College experience.
I would go to these frat parties and look around, and being a film student, I would go, this is a movie. These are extras. This is a beautiful shot. This is, they couldn't create this.
Mm-hmm.
It's real.
Yeah.
And I'm just looking around being like, wow, I have the true Southern collegiate experience right now. And I will never take that for granted. I'm so happy I got to have that.
Are you still friends with your sorority sisters?
I mean, if I'm being honest, not close friends really with any of them. I mean, we catch up and we DM on Instagram and like, but like no one's like my homie.
Yeah. It's not like, cause they bill it as like friends for life.
Well, I think it should be. And honestly, I think I've, through therapy and things, I'm realizing, that it's maintaining friendships long term, mm-hmm. especially for like people from my past, I think is an issue that because I meet people now and they're networkers.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. This is my friend. I've known him since I was five. He went to college with me. This person went to the, and I'm like, wow, I should have taken more advantage of that.
Yeah. I'm the same way where I have not, it's been difficult. Like I have a select few friends that I've known for like multiple years, like long time, but like, it's hard to maintain.
Yeah. And I know that if we all got in the same room, we would have a great time and we'd pick back up where we left off. But we didn't really stay in each other's lives, you know, long term.
What does your therapist say about like, how do you change that energy?
I don't know. It's for me. I just have a really hard time reaching out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm like, nobody wants to hear from me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which is definitely probably not true,
mm-hmm.
but I'm working on it.
And also I'm the kind of person, I also don't love a reach out.
Mm-hmm.
And I love to be reached out to, but then after a while it'll give me anxiety and then I'll kind of like blow off. Like I want to know that someone wants to reach out to me and really wants me and then be able to like cut it off.
Yeah.
Which is not a great quality.
I mean,
I'm also trying to work on, but it's like,
it's interesting.
It's all stuff that gets embedded in you in a young age.
Yes.
All goes back to how your
parents were. Always all of it. Yeah, it's been interesting because of everything going on in my personal life right now. The reach outs are very strong.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because I'm like, what's your intention? Do you want to hang out with me because you feel bad for me?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to hang out with me because you are concerned and, you know, really kind of want to reconnect after hearing what I'm going through? Or are you just a gossip and you like want to get the tea?
Yeah.
On like why I'm divorcing and like what's going on in my life, you know? And it's been interesting to navigate that because I pretty much can instantly tell once I get in front of them.
Yeah.
It's like, how are you? So what happened? What's going on? And I'm like, interesting.
Yeah.
But I've been getting a lot of free lunches. I'll tell you that.
I love that.
Why not, baby?
That's worth it.
Yeah.
I mean, do it for a meal.
Same.
Mm-hmm.
Snacks are a big incentive to me at this stage in my life.
Definitely.
I don't know what that says, but like, you know, if you want to pay, I'll spill.
Take me out to dinner or lunch at a great restaurant and I'll tell you everything
Same.
You need to know.
Same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? So you filed for divorce recently.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's intense.
Yep. It is. It's weird. It's crazy. I just a couple days ago got the email where I read through everything and it's your entire life with a person in a document,
mm-hmm.
and it's very sterile. It's in black and white. You're the numbers of your accounts, you know, like my dog's name is in it. It's just like really, it was a really crazy thing to read. And the emotions I was having were, it was like a very, I read it. I say I read it dead eyed. I just numbed myself in order to self-preserve.
You kind of have to in that situation.
Because it's so intense, even now. Like, I could totally lose it right now, but mm-hmm. I'm going to keep it composed. It was a very intense moment. It was one of those moments throughout this period where I saw my body above. Like, I, like, rose up and saw myself looking at it because it was that intense of a thing.
Yeah.
To, like, read this paper that has my entire fucking life.
And when it all comes down to, like... like a relationship is just summed up with like paragraphs and numbers. And
I mean, then you're like, a relationship
mean it beyond...
was, it was my life.
Yeah.
I mean, 8 years mm-hmm. of my life,
mm-hmm.
my partnership, my whole life in a fucking paper. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make you cry.
But that's where I'm at now. It's so crazy because I can be fine and then... oh, like it starts coming out.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, there's such a grieving process, I'm sure.
It is. And everyone, this is the really, honestly, the first grief I've ever really processed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, yeah, my grandparents died, you know?
But grandparents, but they're old kind of and you're a kid. And
exactly. This was this whole divorce was a lot of feelings, a lot of grief, a lot of trauma. And it just comes out that easily.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be the way it is for a long time. I've talked to so many friends of mine who have been through divorces, been through grief. And, you know, you could go a year and then all of a sudden you start sobbing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you just don't know. And I'm processing it. I'm in therapy twice a week. I'm doing trauma recovery. I'm doing all these things. So I'm doing everything right. But it is very raw. I mean, it's literally I'm going through it right now. There isn't even any time on it. It's like current.
No, it's like currently happening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What, when you decided to file, did you do, I mean, I've not ever been divorced, mm-hmm. but I feel like it's something that half of marriages go through.
Yeah.
And like, I've seen enough divorces and like watched enough TV to like know about the process mm-hmm. of filing
mm-hmm.
and then like finding a lawyer and stuff. Mm-hmm. Did you call around to like every lawyer so that your ex could?
Oh no.
Cause that's like exactly what I would do.
Right.
Is
yeah.
Just be like, do that dick move.
Yeah. I, you know, we did mediation.
Mm-hmm.
So we shared an attorney. It was amicable.
Oh.
Yeah. So we didn't have to
get
ugly.
Getting divorced nicely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, if not, because it can get so ugly.
It gets ugly
quick.
My
parents, if I'm being honest, they had a pretty ugly divorce.
Same.
And it was really, really hard to watch. And even with distance on it, it's even more painful and more heartbreaking because now that I'm an adult and now especially going through my own divorce, I really see things I never saw.
Mm-hmm.
There's, I think the saddest part of this to me is that my nephews are not going to remember me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens with divorce is that a family gets divided.
Yeah.
A family gets ripped in half. And I remember being little, I was 7 when my parents got divorced. My mom had nieces and nephews and sisters and all these people that she had been with for all these years in her family. And then all of a sudden, done. Never got invited to another Christmas. Never saw her nephews and her nieces. And at the time, I didn't think about that. But how painful that must have been for my mom,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I know now there's like modern families and there's consciously uncoupling and there's all these things that you can do. I was just at an event or a family gathering of a friend's and the ex-wife was there with the new wife and the kids, and it was beautiful.
Yeah.
That's great. But this isn't how it went down on my family.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to really set boundaries for yourself. And my nephews are not going to remember me.
Yeah.
And it's the saddest part of this whole thing is that I watched them grow up. I was there when they were born. And now Aunt Jackie is not going to exist.
Mm-hmm.
And if I wanted to exist, I could. But then that's binding me to this situation that I'm making a decision to leave.
Yeah.
And I have to do what I have to do. And it's just that's the shittiest part of this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
It breaks my heart.
Yeah.
And then it makes me think of my mom and what she went through. And that breaks my heart even more as an adult now,
mm-hmm.
seeing something I didn't see as a kid.
Yeah.
It's fucked up.
That is fucked up.
Yeah.
I didn't even think of like the extended family that gets involved.
Because I was like we don't have kids. I was like, we don't have kids. It's a clean break. But it's not a clean break.
Mm-hmm.
I'm losing a sister. I'm losing a brother-in-law. I'm losing my niece, my nephews.
Yeah.
And they're losing their aunt.
Mm-hmm.
And their sister. And it sucks. It's part of it, you know, because families are dissolving. This is a dissolving of a family.
Yeah. Ugh, so I know. Heavy.
It's fucked up.
It's fucked
and
up.
And that's why I say my heart goes out to anyone who's been affected by a divorce, especially if you're going through your own and especially if you have kids.
Mm-hmm.
Because as a child of divorce, I know exactly how it feels.
Did you know, like, when your parents were going through the divorce, like, that it was really ugly or that things had, like, heated up? Or was it something that you found out later?
I didn't have any, you know, comparison.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, I definitely realized it later.
Yeah.
I definitely realized it later, especially, like, having friends whose parents were divorced and, like, hearing how they handled it. Like, oh, there is a right way to do it, you know? And no shame to my parents because I understand it's rough.
Yeah.
It is rough. It is so rough. Your nerves are so raw. Your feelings are so hurt. And, you know, it's rough.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm, like, a goop head at heart, uh-huh. and I'm a huge fan of, like, the conscious uncoupling movement.
Same.
And I think it's, like, very progressive and cool. But even right now when we're talking, I'm like, did you call every lawyer and just, like, fuck him? Like, I go straight to, like, anger and defensiveness.
Right. Well,
in that
because,
moment,
you know, every case is different.
Yeah.
I wanted to take the high road as much as I could.
And honestly, it's like, I feel like this is now kind of the age probably for people and like women in our generation that like it's the time when people start getting divorced if you got married.
Yeah.
And like
it happens.
It happens.
Yeah.
And the easier you can make it on yourself, the better long term.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you'd really like to just like fuck someone over.
Mm-hmm. But I don't want to fuck anybody over.
Yeah.
I'm not a contentious person.
Mm-mm.
Which I mean, guess
I would
is
like,
good.
Like the universe to fuck some people over.
Right. Well, you know, but that like, that I can't help, you know.
Yeah.
Do you, uni.
Mm-hmm.
Do you, honey. That's on you. But me personally, I'm focusing on myself for the first time ever. So, you know, whatever happens to him or whoever isn't my concern or my priority.
Yeah.
It's about me now.
Yeah.
So that's my priority. I'm getting healthy. I'm doing what I need to do.
I love it.
Yeah.
One more question about like divorce and then we can move on to reader mail.
Okay. Love it.
I want to know like what this situation has taught you about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you've had any like revelations about like your life or your own choices that you would never have known if you hadn't gone through this.
Yeah.
Because I mean, think that's so interesting when you have any sort of like, I mean, even like a friend breakup or you just lose someone in your life that you really loved.
Yeah.
It opens your eyes about a lot of other things.
Everything.
If you're handling it in like a pretty healthy way.
The two biggest things that are coming up are I'm stronger than I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't happy and I deserve to be happy.
Yeah.
And I didn't know any of those things. I didn't know I wasn't happy. And I know it's so crazy to think about, but I truly didn't know.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because I like have lunch with a friend, a good friend, and I'd be like, you know, I wasn't happy. And she goes, I know. I could tell. It's like people knew, but like, what do you say? I wasn't happy and I deserve to be happy and I'm going to seek that happiness.
Mm-hmm.
I keep playing that song, Pursuit of Happiness, the Kid Cudi song.
Like,
I keep playing it and I'm like, yes, honey, I'm on the pursuit of happiness. And then I'm stronger than I think because I had to physically push myself off the ground. I had to physically find the strength to get up. I was on the ground. My face was shoved into the ground. I was defeated and filthy and I wouldn't bathe and I wouldn't eat. And I really, truly thought I'm ruined. I'm ruined. My life is over. And I got up and I was like, wow, I can fucking handle shit and I can flourish. And that's something that I did not know I could do. And I say it on Natchbeat. I say, you're stronger than you think. And it's true. You are.
Yeah.
Until you've been tested, you don't know, but you can handle whatever shit flies your way. You can handle it.
That's so true. Mm-hmm. A fucking man.
Yes.
I'm like so inspired by you right now.
Yes. I love that.
That's a good transition.
Yes.
Into some reader mail.
Oh, I love that. I love a reader mail.
Love. The readers are always writing in, telling me things, weighing in. We'll probably get some good advice on your poverty vow, how to like reverse. Okay, so I previously on the pod, I have like a thing about adult owners of bunnies.
Okay, love.
Where I think that it's kind of like, I think that bunnies are Satan's creature and an adult, like they're fine for a child, but if you're an adult owner of a bunny, you're a babe.
Mm-hmm.
So
love.
I asked for readers to weigh in with like bunny stories or if they agree or disagree.
I can't
I've
wait.
Been going over a lot of this.
I can't wait. This is really exciting to me as a as an animal lady.
What are your thoughts on a bunny?
You know, I've seen both. I've seen really happy, friendly bunnies in domestic situations, and I've seen like kind of mean, like reclusive bunnies. And so I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I was at the Glossier headquarters last summer in New York, and they have a bunny that lives in the office.
And whoa, they have an office bunny.
They have an office. Of course, Glossier has an office bunny. You know what I mean?
All
of course they do.
All right. This is eye-opening. I don't know how to feel about an office bunny, but go ahead.
If anyone's going to have an office bunny, it's Glossier. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So there's an office bunny, and it was like picking up my dog. Like, sweet, kind. It had sentient thoughts behind its eyes. Like, it was a dog.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can get down with this. But then I've met bunnies that are, they want nothing to do with you, and they're very cold, and like, I'm like, this is a wild animal, let it outside. You know what I mean?
They're so, like, scared of you.
Yes. And I'm just like, this wants to be outside, free. So I don't know, I'm very curious about these emails.
Okay. Hi, Lara. I write to you with the story of a true adult bunny-oni babe. I was yesing so hard throughout your entire tirade about how adult bunny owners are freaks. The year was 2015, and my boyfriend, now husband, and I decided to open up the relationship, mostly because a couple friend of ours propositioned me, and I was into it.
Mm-hmm.
It was a pretty great setup that involved my own fuzzy robe and snacks that they bought for me every time I came over. We ended up being open for about 2 years before deciding that we hated most other people anyways. But during those 2 years, I dated, let's call him Liam. Liam was a super hot musician, actor, who had just gotten out of a 7-year relationship. It seemed safe for me because he wouldn't want to jump into something serious so soon, but I was wrong. Things got super intense with some Molly-heavy nights, really good sex, and he loved reading my writing and telling me I was a genius. I was way into it for a while, obvs. One thing that always annoyed me, though, was how obsessed he was with this rabbit he had shared with his ex. He would tell long-ass rambling stories about how much he missed it, how it wasn't fair that she got the bunny when he had paid for it. He schemed ways to get it back, and how sad he was that she wouldn't return his DMs about visiting their bunny child.
Oh, Jesus.
It really upset him that he couldn't see his bunny. It became such a prevalent topic of conversation. Would he ever see the bunny again? Okay, now she said he could see the bunny, now she's saying he can't, that I would bring extra weed and sex toys to distract him. It only worked sometimes. Sometimes he would even show me the IG account of his ex, whose entire feed was up-close shots of their rabbit. Both of them truly deranged, and probably a tragedy that they broke up. I put up with it because D to B, dick to bomb. We ended things eventually because he went on a cross-country tour with some Broadway play, and 6 months later, he called me 20 times until I answered my phone on my birthday to tell me he met someone, was getting married to someone who looked a lot like me, and was moving to literally Kentucky. I wished him well, and then he blocked me on every form of social media, later apologizing on LinkedIn. Lol, to say his new wife forced him to. Healthy. I would sometimes wonder how he could stand having so much space between him and his rabbit, when one day I saw he had unblocked me and there were pictures of a new rabbit he had bought in Kentucky. He could abandon his career and uproot his whole life at the drop of a hat, but he could not live without owning a rabbit. In whatever alternate universe where I would have dated him long term, I dodged a bullet. A bunny bullet. Love and light.
That is the best email I've ever read, and we can't read anymore. I mean, it's too good. This needs to be a movie. This was a full chronicle. It was a beginning, a middle, an end, an inciting incident.
Yeah.
This was the best email.
Yeah.
What's her name? Can we say?
I don't say their name.
Okay.
Usually,
listen,
I'm going to
call her the bunny honey.
Yeah.
This is the best thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
It was, I'm at a loss. Mm-hmm.
You did dodge a bunny bullet. The guy's a freak. Adult bunny owners, there's something amiss.
Dick to bomb. Isn't that how it always works out?
Yeah.
You're like, I met this guy. The sex is amazing. Oh, really? What's he do for a living? By the way, he's into rabbits. You know what I mean? Like, there's always something.
Yeah.
There's always something.
You can't have it all.
No, you truly can't. Bravo. Great cold read, by the way. That was an exceptional email. And this I get a like lot of emails.
All the readers are writers.
That person's a writer. Mm-hmm. That to me,
this is the majority of them are like, I love all the readers of the pod because they write in these amazing emails
that,
and
to
like,
me,
share their lives.
What are those? What was those Playboy stories that was like their their famous column?
What was it?
I can't think of the name of it.
Me neither.
It's like their famous column. Fuck.
Playboy Advisor? No. It wasn't Penthouse Letters.
Maybe it was. Who cares? Just cut all this.
Anyway.
It was great.
Yeah.
It was a great fucking email.
A perfect email. I have an email with the subject line, pugs.
Oh, yay.
No need to keep me anonymous. I'm Jen. I've been a pug owner for 16 years and counting, and I'm proud. Can't explain how supportive I am of your pug journey. My family became a pug family back in 2003 when my mom was at the mall with my little sister and literally could not resist the cuteness of the pug at the pet shop.
Aww.
Yes, my family's pug is from a pet shop, which is basically the babe version of a rescue. My mother called my dad for his blessing to buy the pug. He said no, she got it anyway. Babe. A few things to know as you begin your pug life. Pugs have a ton of personality, but they are nearly impossible to train. Mm. They straight up do not listen to you and will ignore you when you tell them to do something. TBH, I've always found it endearing. What's not so endearing is that their immunity to training, it sometimes extends to housebreaking. They will piss and shit anywhere. You have to be vigilant about taking that squishy face creature outside very often, which of course won't be a problem. You'll want to show him or her off to the world. It may seem wild to us pug lovers, but it's not a universally accepted truth that pugs are objectively cute. You will encounter people that will tell you your pug is the ugliest thing they've ever seen. Don't listen to them. They are wrong. Tell them to burn in hell. Highly encourage you to join the group Pug Cafe on Facebook.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Yes. It's a community of British pug owners asking questions and giving advice about pugs. A daily lol. Seriously, best wishes to you and Tony. Love and light. Jen, a.k.a. Pug Lover 420.
Okay. Pug Lover 420 is basically like my entire life summed up in a screen name.
Pugs do create like pug fans. Mm-hmm. I've now gotten deep into like the pug fan community mm-hmm. on Instagram mm-hmm. and I'm following like lots of different yes. pug accounts. And they are a very special breed of babe.
They sure are.
That is like, I love them all. Mm-hmm. Like I love the community around pugs. There's yearly like pug meetups or even maybe like every season there's a pug meetup in Las Vegas.
Oh man.
Which looks
that doesn't
fun.
Seem conducive to pugs and their squish
no,
faces
it seems
at
like
all.
A really bad place mm-hmm. to go for yes, the pug, but yes. like the owners seem to really enjoy. And like I just think pugs are the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, pugs are an acquired taste.
What?
Pug people are real.
Pug people are mm-hmm. real.
And yeah. a lot of pug people have two.
I know,
or even
that's
three.
What I need. I'm going to eventually have a pug yeah. friend for my pug.
Is your pug a fawn pug or a black pug?
A fawn.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a male. His mm-hmm. name is Tony.
Oh, baby.
I know. Did you ever walk any
oh,
pugs?
A ton.
What's your take on a train situation? I feel like... Go ahead.
So pugs are, I want to say, an Asian breed.
Mm-hmm.
Are they Chinese?
I think so.
We should look it up.
But then it was like, I was reading about them and they were bred for specifically Queen Victoria. She was like a huge fan of them.
I remember seeing Marie Antoinette, mm-hmm. that Kirsten Dunst movie.
And she is the pug and they take him
yes,
away from her.
Yes, yes.
And it's really the saddest thing of that entire movie and Marie Antoinette's entire life is that
yes.
her baby pug was taken away when she was married off to
yes.
the Dauphin.
So pugs were from China,
mm-hmm.
but they were brought to Europe at one point.
Yeah.
And Queen Victoria developed a passion for pugs. Okay, so yes, they're Chinese. I have heard from my old boss that Chinese breeds specifically are very stubborn.
Uh-huh.
And that could be, again, with the training. There are certain dogs that literally were bred to please you.
Yeah.
All they want in life is to make you happy. So training is very easy.
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh, you want me to sit? Cool. You want me to... but some of the Chinese breeds, that's not true. They're willful. They have their own will that mm-hmm. you have to kind of fight out.
Yeah.
So yeah, you might have your work cut out for you, but mm-hmm. it'll be worth it in the long run. And they're very smart. They'll figure it out. You yeah. know what I mean?
They'll figure it out. It's going to be a test of like boundaries.
Yes.
And like how firm
oh
I
my
can
God.
Get. And I'm ready to get firm.
I walked a lot of pugs. I've had my heart is so full of dogs. I have had the loves of my life be mm-hmm. dogs. Connie and Chester were a geriatric black pug couple that I was obsessed with. I loved them dearly. They were my best friends. We hung out so much. They were my babies. And then I walked a pug. I'm not even going to say his name. The worst spawn of Satan I've ever known.
Why? What was his deal?
He was just wild and crazy and didn't listen and was a nightmare. And and he can rot in hell.
No.
He was a devil.
Do you think that has to do with like training?
Nature versus nurture.
Yeah.
Both. I mean, this dog was touched by the devil.
Mm-hmm.
He was a special. I mean, because like I said, Connie and Chester on my like top five best dogs list. This dog was on my top worst dogs list.
Yeah.
You know, and so there's no, the breed is one thing, but there's also other elements just like humans.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? This dog sucked my ass.
I hope that my pug
Is
not,
a Connie and Chester.
Yeah, is a Connie
he will
and
be.
Chester.
He will be. Is he a baby?
He's a baby.
Oh, my.
He's like 7 weeks baby. Or 8 weeks.
Oh.
I know. He's a little croissant.
Oh, my God. How are you even going to manage?
I don't know.
You're not going to be able to, your heart is going to burst.
It already is. Like, yeah. I'm already just like broken for this
yes,
dog.
Yes.
But I'm also like aware of training mm-hmm. stuff and like how to deal.
You're gonna
like,
do great.
Yeah,
I think join the English Pug Facebook page. That sounds so exciting.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be fine. He's
I
gonna
just
be great.
Can't deal with like a angry like evil dog,
right?
And unless he like becomes like an Instagram superstar
right.
and makes mommy some money,
right.
then it's
but
like
that, you know,
I guess do you
right?
I'll get you your own house,
right?
Yeah,
yeah, like room temp Evian, please in the bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah. If he's raking in like 100K Instagram
yeah.
posts.
Yeah, he'll
fine.
Sell some bark boxes. Why not? Use code Natch, you know? Whoa, you got some long emails, too.
I got some long. Here's another rabbit journey. Dear Lara and lovely guest, happy birthday. While I cannot agree with you on ferret love, all the rabbit talk last week sent me into a deep childhood memory vortex. I feel compelled to share, lest there be any listener thinking that a rabbit might actually be a normal pet. Let me paint you a picture. I'm a slightly husky second grader, deeply in love with Umbro shorts, tie-dye, and Disney World acquired hair wraps. Perhaps not the most popular girl in the playground, but blissfully unaware. My classroom had an actual love of a bunny, Fluffy, who was truly wonderful, clean, cuddly, respectful. As the family was not quite ready to take the plunge for a canine, the parents decided that since Fluffy was a queen, a rabbit might be a great choice. And here enters Max, a black thumper bunny. Our journey into bunny hell begins as we roll up to a bleak ranch house in God knows where, Illinois. How we ended up there is unclear as it was pre-internet, but regardless, we are met by a harried woman whose name I don't know, but has to be something with Cheryl. She has literally 50 rabbits in her modest abode, which I feel like should have triggered some warning sign for my parents, but whatevs, they had an off day. She counsels us that not only is she comfortable giving Max to us, oh wait, she counsels us that she is only comfortable giving Max to us if we pledge to feed him only fresh carrot tops and the finest greens. Oh, and he needed his own bedroom. Not exactly low key, but fine, whatever. Worked at home and was always down for a project, so Max came with us. Over the next several weeks, it becomes clear that whereas Fluffy was always cuddly, whenever we would approach Max for a little snuggle time, he'd thump and run into the closet in his bedroom, not to be seen for days at a time. While he was taking his sweet-ass time making appearances, as it's pre-farm-to-table, finding fresh carrot tops for this rabbit becomes a full-on endeavor for my long-suffering mother, only to have this biddy rarely deign to eat the $20 salads she's handcrafting for him as her children clamor for hamburger helper. Our patience begins to wear thin after we've had one too many Max attacks. And by this point, the parents have succumbed and bought us a dog, our first, Sadie, which is another story for another time. The nail in the coffin for this devil creature was one day when Sadie came in to sniff out why the effing rabbit got his own room and she was relegated to a crate. She let out Max, allowing him to escape into my parents' room and bury himself under their bed, at which point he promptly chewed through the phone line. It was pre-regular cell phone, so as you can imagine, this was not well received. The following day, my brother and I got our study back, and Max was reunited with his 49 brothers and sisters, never to be heard from again. I wish I could say I felt badly, but that animal was a manipulative bee. Unrelated, thrilled for you to start your pug journey and looking forward to the eventual trip to Vanderpump Dogs. I adopted a dog about a year and a half ago, and as someone who needs a constant stream of Lexapro in my bloodstream, I have to say that my angel pup lady is truly the best antidepressant I've ever had. Love and light.
So, I mean, that's what we're talking about with this pug. You know what I mean? Sometimes animals are evil.
Yeah. He seemed sweet. I feel like you kind of know when an animal is evil.
Well, the good news is if you get one at a puppy, you can really help craft the personality.
Yeah.
You can encourage the good and you can reprimand the bad and it will help form him.
Yeah. You have a lot of control as opposed to like an adopt, like I love like a shelter adoption.
Same.
But so you just never know what you're going to get.
Yeah. You know, we all have baggage.
How did you get your dog?
I was walking dogs and they were giving, someone had a box of puppies and they were giving them away at the dog park.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
So it was like a private adoption. She was never in a kennel or she was never rescued technically. She was adopted.
Yeah.
But my dog is everything to me, my best friend, my source of strength, my antidepressants, my best friend. I mean, she's my everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know where I would be without her. And that's, I know that sounds insane, but it's not hyperbolic. She is my angel on this earth. So
how long have you had her for?
9 years.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. What's her name?
Chooch.
Chooch. Mm-hmm.
She's my angel. So I relate to that email, the end sentence.
She roots for you.
Yeah, she does. She's my angel. I was going to ask if I could bring her and I didn't. I should have.
Oh my God. I was going to text you and say you should bring her. Yeah. I would love to meet her.
Yeah, she would be loving it. I could have gotten some great Instagrams of her in this apartment.
Dogs are allowed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good to know. We stan.
Hi, Lara, and wonderful guest as always. I have a bit of a babe story for you today, and maybe it'll encourage anyone to go to the dentist when something feels a little off.
Oh, shit.
So about 3 months ago, I had this debilitating pain in my left front tooth, which had already been worked on previously. And I thought, ah, that little fucker. Waited a couple of days for it to pass, which it didn't. True New York way of fucking your week up. And as it was a Sunday at its peak pain, I had no choice but to wait it out before going into the NYU dental emergency. Keep in mind, I'm Australian and didn't really realize that health and dental insurance were totally different. Threw my $75 fee and was ready to get this tooth looked at. Suddenly, a huge crash. The receptionist has fainted. Everyone swarms around her and like my dental fear has gone from a plateauing 7 to a high and mighty 10.5. I get called to the little cubicle. The lady is sweet and we talked about Cabo and Mexico for a while. They were like, we don't know what this is. And they were like, we can give it a shot and you can go in for a root canal, which I thought was ridiculous. So I decided to throw the $75 down the drain and wait one more day and go to a dental place my friend recommended in Greenpoint. I went the next morning and boom, he found a little infection up in the root, which I was then put on antibiotics and it went away in about 3 days. Besides the constant Bruce itch that comes with antibiotics, I was in relief and ready to take on my NYC life once again. 3 weeks passed and that little fucker comes back. I go back and ask what's up. Another round of antibiotics and it didn't really go away. Now I'm terrified of the dentist, so I'll put anything off as long as possible. Super self-conscious of this one tooth that we're all looking at, and it's just a nothanks.com for me at this point. Anyway, my sweet Italian dentist is like, this looks like we're going to have to get your front tooth pulled. I looked absolutely disgusting. 2 weeks later, in a couple cries in Midtown, there I am, sitting on a dental seat with no places to go on to. Bing, bang, bong, he pulls the tooth, no problem. I'm shuffled out the door and I'm crying on the street, bleeding on myself like that episode of Broad City. Anyways, now I have a fake tooth, which my boyfriend thinks is hot, which I guess is cool. And I've really put him through the ringer on this one. And I know he listens to this. So I wanted to give a public apology to my boyfriend, Jack. Ha ha ha. But my question is, how do I get over being so self-conscious about this faux tooth? Any advice on this would be highly appreciated. Love and dental light. Cal.
I just had a whole episode of Nash Butte about going to the dentist and dealing with shit like this.
Really?
Yeah.
What is you? Have you had an easy or difficult dental journey?
Well, I have had. I have neglected my teeth.
Yeah.
And I'm done with it. So I went to the dentist after a long time of not going.
Really?
And
how long did you not go?
I mean, like 2 years. Not yeah. super, super long.
Yeah.
But my front tooth is calcifying. The root is calcifying. So my tooth is essentially dying. Mm-hmm. My front tooth.
No.
And I'm going to have to get a root canal. And it's going to be a whole thing.
And like it gets replaced.
Yeah. When your tooth turns gray. It's a whole thing.
Oh, my God.
So this, I hear all this.
Yeah.
I hear all this a lot, you know, and it's there's tooth shame is real.
Tooth shame is super real. Teeth are also like such an expensive mm-hmm. and like major health mm-hmm. thing that you can't really neglect.
Yes.
Lest you come into this kind of reader situation yes. where you're getting like a front tooth pulled out.
Yes.
So I don't know. I mean, my teeth, like I had braces when I was in high school and my teeth were all fucked up before. And then I never wore a retainer. So now they're crooked.
Yeah,
and I've had
a
lot of
mine
like
either.
Self-conscious like feelings about that.
Uh-huh.
And I'm basically just like waiting for the day that I can have Invisalign and like fix them all.
Yeah.
I don't know. I found that like taking care of my teeth and like flossing every day and brushing and stuff has like when I introduced because I was never a flosser.
Same.
But then I started flossing a year ago and I just started doing it every day at night. Like it became my nighttime routine yep. before bed. And that has helped me get less self-conscious
Same.
About my teeth.
Yeah. I'm all about the floss now.
Yeah.
Floss.
Floss life. I want to do like a round of whitening because I feel like mm-hmm. that will help as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just like, I don't know, tell like save money and tell myself like right. Invisalign's coming soon. Hun.
Yes. It's 5K.
Yeah.
You can do
it ain't
Smile
cheap.
Direct for a lot cheaper.
I know, but Smile Direct, I've read the reviews
Same.
And it's like, that talk about a fucking crapshoot. It's like 50% of people that do it are really unhappy. And I went and got my mouth like drawn up with their 3D thing mm-hmm. and saw their like smile plan for me. And it honestly left like a gap in my smile where like my teeth wouldn't meet because they don't correct your bite. They just correct
like,
the
interesting.
Front. Yeah, that's their whole thing. And why they can move so quickly and why it can be so cheap is because they don't move your actual like back
mm-hmm.
molars.
Mm-hmm.
So that can actually make your teeth, even if they appear straight, they're not in better condition. And your bite and like all of that hasn't really been fixed. And you might end up just getting it fixed and spending more money to correct it down the line.
Good to know.
Do you have any other tips for smile confidence?
I mean, you gotta love what you got. You know, it's a journey. We're all on it.
Yeah.
We have to reprogram our brains and that's not easy to do,
mm-hmm.
but that's all there is to it. Cause yeah. I'm doing that myself and it's stressful.
How do you reprogram or like, what are your methods like for reprogramming?
I think affirmations and
like mantras,
finding joy and, give your life a soundtrack that really builds you up. That's something I never did. Listening to the songs that change your brain and change your energy.
Music
and
helps a lot.
100%.
You said you had a divorce playlist that you
mm-hmm.
made yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Maybe you can like link that.
It's called KDL, Kooky Divorce Lady, KDL, and it's on my Spotify. And it's very random, like, because sometimes I'd be in a sad mood, so I'd listen to like a sad song, but then the next song is like Katy Perry, Part of Me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so it's kind of random, but it is very, you know, I listen to it all the time. I listen to it on the way here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. Yeah. I've been like, talking with my therapist a lot about how to get rid of like negative self-talk because
mm-hmm.
I really have like just a negative voice that comes in like I hear it come from
mm-hmm.
like a certain direction
mm-hmm.
that is just like shaming me for decisions
right.
or like wanting me to be perfect all the time
right.
and like how to combat that.
Yep.
So she gave me a mantra that I'm like saying to that voice every time I hear it.
Yeah.
But yeah, the reprogramming your brain stuff is like
difficult. Well, it's years and years and years that we're now trying to like overcorrect.
Yeah.
And it's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? We're all on a journey.
Life is a journey.
Life is a journey. Vow of poverty, baby.
And I love like a fake tooth and your boyfriend's into it. So like, that's a thing too, is when you realize like about insecurities in general is pretty much all the time, you're the only person that cares about
yes.
it.
Yes. And also I feel like quirks, unique features, as we call them on Nashville, unique mm-hmm. features makes you different. And those are the things that people are drawn to and find the most endearing and attractive. It's often the things that we don't like about ourselves or yeah. what other people see and really like.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's just reprogramming.
Yeah.
And really just embracing the fact that you are not the same as everyone else. We're all different and we all have different things about us.
Yeah.
And those things should be celebrated and not concealed or not ashamed of, you
know?
Totally. Yeah.
Sometimes it's so hard too, though, like, especially with like my teeth. I dated a guy who was like, I love that you have like a crooked tooth that sticks out when you smile. And I was like,
you could have phrased that a little different.
I know. And I was like, I don't like this and I don't like you. Like, it turns into sometimes,
right.
And this was like pre-therapy mm-hmm. in a period of like deep depression, but it turned that kind of stuff sometimes for me would turn into like, what's wrong with you that you like this so
right.
much, or what's wrong with you that you like me so mm-hmm. much. Which is also something I'm working on.
Same.
Yeah.
Same. Mm-hmm.
Thank you guys for writing in. If you have questions, thoughts, concerns, or a babe story, just email me, babepodcast@gmail.com. You have to listen to Jackie's podcast, Natch Butte.
We're always up to something on there. You're going to be coming on soon.
I'm going to be coming on mm-hmm. soon. I'm so excited. Mm-hmm. And just thank you for being here. You've inspired me. Thank you for being so vulnerable.
Oh my God. Thank you for having me. We had so much fun. Yeah. I loved our talk.
I loved it too.
And again, if anyone knows someone who can help me lift my eternal vow of poverty, please.
Oh my God. Yeah. Write
Jackie@nashbute.com. Please email me while you're at it. Jackie@nashbute.com.
Yeah. And if you have anyone like the readers that have a point person for Akashic Records.
Yes.
Email that too.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Let's just get a database going.
All of it.
Yes.
I need it.
Drown us in emails.
So tell them where they can find you, like on social media and stuff.
So Natch Butte is available anywhere you podcast, most likely. Episodes come out on Fridays, but we're actually moving to Thursdays soon. Get excited about that. Natch Butte, anywhere you podcast. Natch Butte on Insta and Jackie Michelle Johnson on Insta. And Michelle
that.
Is one L. Yes. And Chooch is hello. I'm the Chooch.
Cute.
Talk about dog celebrities on Instagram.
She's a she,
but do we really know what his gender?
Yeah, it's a concept.
We're not offended, right?
She was one of the first dogs to ever get the like Jess grooming, who did had the Instagram that does
Chooch
like,
is on
slow...
the cover of her book.
Yeah,
Jess Rona.
That's where I like found mm-hmm. that groomer.
Mm-hmm.
It's who's the readers probably know. It's like the groomer that does the iconic
Jess
like,
Rona
slow...
grooming. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
the slow motion blow dry videos.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Chooch is on the cover of her book.
Chooch is an influencer.
She most definitely is. I get sent pictures and we get tagged in photos of people who copy her color looks
mm-hmm.
that Jess does. I mean, Jess just Instagram Chooch a couple days ago and she has her peach. Choochie did like a peach look.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to say that Active Coral is the Pantone color of 2019 and Choochie did start that trend at the end of the fall. So I'm just saying Chooch has predicted the Pantone color 5 times in her lifetime and she did it again. So
I want... Have you ever done like a pet psychic or a pet past
Mm-mm.
lives?
Mm-mm.
I would love for you to do that with Chooch.
I would too. I just find that all to be, you know, listen, I live in LA, but honey, there's
where
a line.
You draw the line.
I just, come on. Today in therapy, Chooch was with me and I said, if I could, I would pay you to do Chooch. Like if Choochie could talk to you for an hour, I would pay. Mm-hmm. I would love to know her thoughts.
I'm dying to know animal
yes,
thoughts.
Yes, same.
Their thoughts are like food.
Yes, food, sleep, food, sleep,
owner,
scent,
owner.
Scent.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But we like, love that.
Still,
we love that for them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, thank you again
thank
for
you.
Doing this. And until next time, bye.
Bye.
Babe?
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.